Hi, I'm Christina Pickles, talking about our web series, Break a Hip. You may remember me as Monica and Ross's dysfunctional mother, who had no filter to what she said. Well, I'm playing a similar character who has no filter on Break a Hip, which is very funny. I'm looking forward to talking with Rabbi Saul Solomon on Dave's Gone By, UNCRadio.com.
Oh, shalom, shalom, my friends, shalom to the neighborhood on this Shabbos morning. I'm so excited because I go to the deli 3-4 times a week. And much as I love pastrami and coleslaw, I also love pickles.
Oh, well, come on.
Oh, yes, we have to do this. Come on, come on. Yes, we're talking, but not only about the dill and the half-sour and the semi-sour and the incredibly sour where it makes your eyes water. No, my eyes are watering with gratitude and appreciation for the person who has called us this morning that we are talking to. She is an actress, has been an actress on the big TV show Friends. You also will remember her from Saint Elsewhere, where she was nominated 4 times for Emmy Awards. Oh, and you also saw her on various soap operas. I mean, you've seen this woman all over the television for a couple of decades now. You can watch her now on Vimeo as a YouTube-like thing, where you can watch Break a Hip. This is her new series. I hope I don't break a hip, and I'm probably bound for it at this age, but I'd rather watch Christina Pickles in this comedy show that she is going to tell us about. First of all, shalom, Ms. Pickles!
Thank you. Hello.
Hello to you. Okay, first of all, why the name Break a Hip, which every Jew, they hear that, they're thinking, oh my God, what is it about?
Well, it's about an old person and a young people. It's basically a story about growing up and growing old.
Oy.
Yes, but there's so much fun in it.
Well, then, you play, I assume you play a somewhat older person.
I play a very older person, an old British actress who came to Hollywood with her husband about to do movies and television. Then her husband died.
Oy.
She was left alone in a studio apartment in North Hollywood and forgotten. And she's lonely, as a lot of old people are. And she's terrified of being evicted from her rent-controlled apartment. The landlady who owns the building, who's bound to try to get me out so she can charge more rent, is played by the delightful Allison Janney.
Oh my God, what an actress. She's done a lot of television too, and off-Broadway.
Oh, she's incredible. Biz describes her character as a tall stack of broken dreams. She appears playing a banjo and singing, and she also had hoped to be a performer and is still trying, probably.
So wait, she is the landlady, but I assume you also have children that they have to deal with you and you have to deal with them?
I have no children.
Oh.
And any child I run into, I'm not particularly fond of. And in fact, in an episode at a supermarket, I push aside a small boy who falls to the ground crying. And Jim Rausch, that wonderful actor, is playing his father, and he gets right in my face and tells me to apologize immediately. And I, of course, don't want to because I'm...
Because you're you. You're that character. What is the name of your character? Sorry, I don't recall.
Biz Brantley. Biz, B-I-Z.
Biz, oh, for showbiz?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. So how many episodes have you? Is it a 13-episode season? You just wrapped the first season.
No, we just shot 8.
8,
and
okay.
And we're about to do some more. We're writing it and producing it as we speak.
Now, when you say we are producing it, how directly are you involved? I mean, you're acting in it.
I am. I'm one of the producers.
Oh, great.
One of 4. My very good friend Cameron Watson, who's a very fine director, he directed a movie called Our Very Own, and he's directed plays all over L.A.
Oh.
He and I did a pilot together about the Kennedys years ago. I played Joan Kennedy, who was always drunk, and Fred Willard played my husband.
Was that a comedy?
Ted Kennedy. It was a pilot, and it was extremely funny, but like a lot of things, it wasn't picked up.
Right.
But I met Cameron because he was playing a wonderful part in that, and we stayed friends over maybe more than 20 years.
So how does it happen now where, okay, you have an idea for a sitcom, or he does, and it goes either, do they try the networks, do they try the cable networks, and then do they
now,
try...
Well, the thing that everybody is hot on doing nowadays is, as we did, produce it. Cameron wrote it and friends and acquaintances and people that were all right for the role. And you have this incredible feeling of being creative, like it used to be before network became corporate.
Yeah.
And we all had the most amazing time being really creative and together and producing what we are very proud of. And a lot of people are doing this, and it appears on the web, and people watch it and watch it, and they just watch season two. And then around about season three, it's possible that somebody may say, hey, this is good, I want to produce it. And then it goes on from there.
So that's sort of the basic goal, to get two seasons under your belt, and then come calling to HBO or Cinema, whatever, or one of the networks.
Yeah, right, whatever.
Right. And if it doesn't, do you...
If it doesn't, we continue making it, and it continues to appear and delight an audience on the web, and we continue having a good time. And that's what's so wonderful about this, is we're not all about, it's got to be good, it's got to be a success. We're doing it because we love it.
Oh, I totally, totally understand. Like the producer and the host of this radio program, Dave, he just finished raising funds on an Indiegogo campaign to do his one-man play in Colorado, New York. So that's how he's doing it, but it's a very small amount of money to do the show in the hopes that a producer, someone will come along and say, oh, we can plunk you in a theater for a couple of weeks,
exactly.
And I'll pay for that.
Tell him to be ready to do it for quite a while before that somebody turns up. They don't turn up right away.
Thank you for the advice. But let me ask, where does the money, as a producer, where did you guys crowdfund?
Exactly the same as Dave. We raised it on Indiegogo.
No kidding. Did you make your goal?
We made it. And we made this whole 8 episodes with extraordinary actors and a cinematographer, who's an Emmy Award cinematographer, for $20,000.
Good. All 8 episodes. For 20 grand.
Yeah, but you know, the web series episodes are 8, 9, or 10 minutes. So,
okay. Even so, but were the actors pro bono? Were they equity scale?
Yeah, everybody's going to get something at the end, maybe.
I wish you so much incredible luck with
well,
this.
Thank you.
No, seriously. By the way, reminder to people that breakahip.com is the place to look. I feel bad for anybody who actually breaks a hip and is calling to their computer.
So do I. When there's a scene in the series where Rebecca Mozo plays a nurse to Octavia Spencer's doctor, and Biz, who's a cranky old woman, refuses to believe that Octavia Spencer is a doctor because women are nurses from that background. And the little nurse says, it's so good you didn't break a hip, because when you break a hip, it's the beginning of the end.
That's actually what they say. They also say, and I never knew this, is that everybody thinks, oh, the old person falls and they break a hip. They fall and they break a hip. A lot of times what happens is the hip breaks and then they fall.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, apparently it's sort of the opposite thing. The reason they fall is that the hip goes crack.
Oh, that's very interesting.
But I think it was very...
I write that in the series.
Yeah, it's quite... Well, you might want to check the factuality of that. It's just what I've heard.
Okay.
But also, I do think it was rather naughty of you to get the URL breakahip.com. Because, you know, some old person falls, and he's like, oh, my God, I think I've broken my hip. He goes to the computer. He's like, what do I do? Right, first thing, I'll Google break a hip. And suddenly he's watching a TV show, and he needs a doctor. I think it's a terrible thing.
He'll be laughing all the way to the office.
So let's roll it back with Christina Pickles, our guest in Neighborhood. You have a, shall we say, a very refined way of speaking, and yet people might be still surprised that you were not born in this country. That what happened to your English accent? It's not really strong.
Well, it comes and goes. If I'm nervous, if I'm in a doctor's office, they always say, where were you born? Because my British accent comes flying back at stress times. But mostly, you know, my kids are American. I've lived here more than 30 years, and I am an American.
Well, yeah.
So mostly it's gone, but it comes back from time to time.
Well, did you specifically try to lessen it to get roles?
Sure. My first soap opera, The Guiding Light, I was playing an American, and so I started studying there and continued. I was on Another World and then St. Elsewhere playing an American working mother, and then Friends playing mean mother, a dysfunctional mother who really had no filter and said terrible things to her daughter. That was very therapeutic, but I got to say everything I'm not allowed to say in real life.
Now, let me ask, when you first came here and you joined SAG and Equity after whatever, were you encouraged to keep Pickles because nobody else was named that? Or did they say, you'll never get any work with that last name?
Well, that's really funny because I'm from a theatrical family. I had an uncle.
Wilfred Pickles, that's right.
Yeah, and he was very famous. And he, being not a very charitable man, although he pretended to be, was encouraging me to change my name because he didn't want any competition. And for a while I did change it to Christine Curzon. And then I got sick of it and went back to Pickles. But when I came to America, I did a film for Oliver Stone.
Oh.
And they got it wrong, and I was sitting in the audience, and it said that my character was played by Christina Pickles. And I thought, oh, I like that better. It flows better, Christine Pickles into Christina Pickles. And so I changed it, and I said to a friend, I've changed my name. He said, you have? I said, yes, I've changed Christina.
Well, you've changed.
Looked at me and laughed. He said, well, if you're going to change your name, don't change the first part.
Well, wait a minute. How long ago was that Oliver Stone film? Because you had this name for...
It was very long ago. I hate to tell you how long ago. It was... I forgot what it was called, but it was his first film, and it came and went. Oh. But it was joyous working with him.
Speaking of people that you have worked with, over the years in movies and TV, and I'm always curious about stories and anecdotes about people. For example, you had a role, a fairly featured role, in the Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
What was he like? Where, I mean, because we see him as this crazy, wild, genius person.
Oh, he is a wild genius. That's a great way of expressing it. He's marvelous, so creative. And the scene where I speak about my son being so lonely and desperate, Baz was lying on the floor of the limousine that we were riding in and whispering, "More, that's great, that's good, terrific." He was one of the most encouraging directors, and he'd do anything to get it right, you know.
That's great. No, I mean, what I love to hear is both good stories and bad stories, or true stories about the amazing people who are in the showbiz, the gig business.
Well, I wouldn't tell you a bad story because... It wouldn't be fair.
Well, let's say if the person's dead. No, I'm not saying this would be a bad story, but for example, back in 1974, you did a play with Peter Ustinov. How was he?
Oh, he was great. But he was a crazy genius, and he took us out for dinner every night and paid to the best restaurants. He was so fond of good food. But he wrote a play called Who's Who in Hell, and the producers said, this is too long. Go home, rewrite it, make it shorter. So he went home, rewrote, and made it longer. And we were in Philadelphia having this wonderful gourmet food and lots of laughs and trying to cut the play, which he couldn't. We went to New York and closed on opening night.
Aye, aye, aye. Did he...
He was marvelous. He was so funny.
Oh, that's good. This is why I love to hear the good stories, too. Another person, though, who did eventually, I guess, go kind of bonkers crazy, that you worked with on Broadway, one of your first Broadway plays, was Inadmissible Evidence with a fellow named Nicole Williamson. Was he normal then?
No.
Oh, boy.
No, and he and Peter Sellers used, an actor from England called Peter Sellers, used to turn upstage when I was facing downstage and cross their eyes and make faces and try to make me laugh in a really emotional scene for my character.
Oh, that's awful. I mean, it's funny, but it's awful.
Yeah, it's awful. It was hard. But Nicole was an extraordinary actor. He was madly in love with the leading juvenile and completely bonkers about her, and he wasn't a very stable person.
Well, no, he was the one later on with I Hate Hamlet, and he was patching Evan Handler on the tuchus with a sword. No, that was the whole big story.
He walked off the stage at one point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Handler left the stage saying, I'm not going to act with this man because he just hurt me. He just hit me with a sword. Crazy, crazy people. By the way, I want to go back for a moment to Who's Who in Hell back in 1974, just because that seems to be the very last time you ever appeared on Broadway and perhaps even off Broadway too. What the hell?
No. I was in an APA repertory company with Rosemary Harris and Ellis Rabb doing repertory theater on Broadway, which meant we did The Wild Duck in the afternoon and a Chekhov play, The Seagull, in the evening.
But that was earlier.
That was the pacing of plays. It has never happened again because it's way too expensive because of the unions, etc., changing the set. It was very hard work. But for a while, it was extremely successful, and I did lots and lots of plays.
Yeah, that was in the 1960s into the early 70s. But what I'm asking is, how come after 1974, you haven't been back to Broadway?
I did a disastrous play at the Manhattan Theatre Club.
Ooh.
A nice young man wrote a nice play, but it didn't work, called Death of a Buick.
Oh, boy.
That was I think, in the 80s. Yes, it was in the 80s, because I was also doing St. Elsewhere.
Did the Buick have two other little cars named Biff and Happy? Death of a Buick, I have to look. So let me ask you, when you're in a flop like that, did you know in rehearsal, at what point before, let's say, the reviews came out even, did you realize...
That's a really interesting question, because when you do a play, you have to fall in love with it, and you have to fall in love with the person you're playing, and the whole experience is positive, because you're crazy about what you're doing. And maybe you have a little thought that maybe this isn't going to work, but you push it aside. So when you're a big flop, you say, oh, yeah, I thought it might be. But the energy around it has to be positive, otherwise you'd kill it.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's what I'm wondering. Because a lot of times, you know, I'll be in a show, or Dave will go to a show in previews, and he'll see it in the audience, will really, really love it, and everybody can be fooled, sort of, until the day after it opens, and everybody opens the Daily News and the New York Times, and you're like, oh, but the audience seemed to really like it, but it's gone in
a week. It's weird, isn't it?
What was your best experience in the theater ever?
Oh my God! Well,
what?
Let's see. I had so many wonderful experiences. One of my first things off Broadway in New York was a classical play by, of all people, Congreve, called The Way of the World.
Oh, and yeah. Pretty
yeah,
well known.
And George Devine, who ran the Royal Court Theatre, came over from London and directed it. And actually, it started my career.
Ooh.
And I still know people come up to me and say, I saw you in The Way of the World. It was a very good experience. Can I talk about someone who's in our series?
Sure.
He plays Wincy, my assistant to Biz, this frightening actress, and his name is Britt Hennemuth, H-E-N-N-E-M-U-T-H, and we suggested that he change his name, and he decided to think about it, and then he came and said, look, if Benedict Cumberbatch, I'm not changing my name.
Sure, Hennemuth, I mean, nowadays, everybody can have weird names. It's not like back in when your name could be too Jewish, or your name was too ridiculous, or it had to be, you had to sound like Rock Hudson, you had to have a name like that, or something.
Yeah, right.
No, now you can be Christina Pickles, who is with us in the neighborhood. Everybody remember that you can watch Break a Hip on Vimeo. Just go to breakahip.com to find out how. You also have a website of your own called ChristinaPickles.com. So what else, besides the web series, what else have you been working on these days, recently?
What else have I been working on? Well, I've played lots of things on television, you know, things that come and go. I was on Friends for 10 years, and mostly I've done a lot of sort of independent film and projects created, not a lot of money, but a lot of joy.
Okay. Well, I mean, I would hope, I mean, it's none of our business, but of course it is our business because it's my show, but that you made enough doing things like Friends and saying Elsewhere that you can pick
and
choose.
That's the joy of it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you make enough, you can pay your bills, you have a nice life, you don't have to be out there making $12 million a movie or whatever. You
yeah,
can
exactly.
Do a web
exactly.
series.
We've got a lot of wonderful people in this. Cameron knows a lot of people besides Alice and Janney. We have Priscilla Bond. Barnes, who was in Three's Company, and Perry Gilpin, who was in Frasier.
Oh, yes, of course, yes.
Yeah, she plays a very nervous sheriff who mispronounces things. She says she's come in and wants people to vacation the premises.
That's like a Mrs. Malaprop thing right there.
She's delightfully funny in it. And, of course, Octavia Spencer is in the episode that hasn't aired yet, and she was an amazing person to work with. I haven't experienced that in a long time.
Of what? Having an amazing person to work with?
Well,
that reflects badly on all these people you worked with the last 10 years. What?
No, the experience that I had was that she changed my character's thinking.
Ooh, how?
Well, I'm vile to her and say, you know, you're not a doctor, you're a nurse, and you don't look like a doctor. And she lets me have it.
Oh.
And she puts me in my place. And as she walked by me to get the file on my case, she touched my knee. I was sitting on a table. And I realized that my character, Biz, this desperate, lonely old woman, ex-actress, quite glamorous still, has not been touched in years. And it was so revealing and so moving, I began to open up about the whole situation, about her being a doctor, about me being where I was. And it was quite a moment for me.
No, wait, is part of the script improvised, or is everything scripted here, if you're saying that?
Everything's scripted. But
the way you approached the rest of the scene was changed by the way, by her physically touching you.
And the way I'll approach the rest of the series, her mind is opening up a bit.
That's great.
Speaking
of approaches and things like that, I'm always curious, because you did both soap operas and also long-form, hour-long TV dramas. How are they different in the way you act them and also your average day on the set of these things?
Well, doing a sitcom is wonderful because it's like a 9-to-5 job. Doing an hour-long series is much more exhausting. You can be there very early in the morning till very late at night, and it's sitting around a lot. And
also there'd be locations.
Experience. I love doing sitcoms because there's an audience, and you have a small script that you perfect during the week and get new lines.
And what about soap opera, though?
Well, I found soap opera very difficult because you're learning a lot of lines and words. And frankly, very often it isn't about too much challenging thoughts. It can be a very meandering sort of experience, but you have to know the lines, although there used to be a teleprompter there. And some of the actresses I worked with never learned their lines and just read it from the teleprompter. I couldn't do that because I was too nervous. But some of them did.
Huh. Okay. We are talking, by the way, with Christina Pickles. Just a couple more questions with her about not only her current web series, but the other things that she's done. What brought you from England to America in the first place?
I had been in a rep company in the north of Ireland after I left the academy where I was studying acting. And then I went to the north of Ireland to a small company and did a different play every week. And I also helped get the furniture and pull the curtain and put on the music. I mean, I was just a beginner and I did everything that nobody else wanted to do. And in the same company was a young man that I fell madly in love with. And we saw each other for quite a while. And then he did that thing about needing more time.
Oh, well.
And my heart was broken. And my father said, you cannot mope around the house like this. You have got to do something. Get a green card, go to New York, and stay with your friends that you met at the Royal Academy, which I did. And I went to an audition with a friend. The play was a play by John Osborne called Epitaph for George Dylan, and was sitting there talking, and my friend went into audition, and I think I said, had to go, and the man said, wait a minute, are you British? And I said, yes. He said, would you like to audition for this play? And I said, yes. And I got it, and my friend didn't.
Oh.
And it was at the Zelda Fishandler's Arena Stage in Washington, D.C., and that's how I got my equity card.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Wow, and basically you stayed here ever since.
Yeah, I raised my kids in New York. I loved being a New York actress and mother, and we did soap operas and off-Broadway at the same time because the soap opera paid enough to let you do an off-Broadway play, and I used to run home and put the kids to bed and read them stories. It was a crazy, busy, busy, busy life.
I came to
Los Angeles and sort of fell apart because everything was so easy because I could always find a parking space, and everybody was saying, have a nice day, and supermarkets have coffee and help you to your car, and I couldn't handle it at all.
Now, in those early years, though, when you're trying to be a soap opera person and a theater person and a wife and mom, was your husband in the theater, or your first one?
Yes, he was not in the theater. He was a photographer, and then he came to Hollywood, which is why we all came.
Oh, okay.
He came to direct St. Elsewhere, and I came to be in it. So Bruce Paltrow gave us both our start in this town.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he was great.
And people might not know that your second husband, who you survived, was Herb Edelman, who was constant presence on TV.
What an actor, huh?
Oh, my God. And you see him even now if you watch the reruns of Golden Girls.
So funny. So funny. And isn't she wonderful?
All of them were. Who are you talking about? Betty White or B. Arthur or all of them?
B. Arthur. But they all were, you're right. And Betty White is still around and doing it.
Yeah, she's doing a TV show. She
got a role model, huh?
She's 92, I think. Amazing.
Wonderful.
Amazing. So, have you... what about your personal life these days? Have you been dating? Is there anybody in your life?
There is someone in my life. He's an Australian journalist. And he said he's very surprised that we live together because... he's Australian and I'm British, and the Australians don't like the Brits.
Well, you were a penal colony there, so...
Yeah, that's right.
Well, he was.
Yeah, he was.
Well, wait, you're not married? That's a shanda.
Isn't that... Having lived with Herb for so long, I do recognize all these words.
There you go. Uh-huh.
But it could also be a mitzvah, right?
It can if it's a happy, good kind of relationship and you do well for each other and for your kids.
We did, but he died.
I know. Yeah, well, yeah. But I'm talking about your current boyfriend person.
Oh, my current boyfriend is not Jewish. And that was one of the things that was very difficult because my husband, who's the father of my children, was a Jewish Hungarian descent. Herb was, of course, Russian descent. Are you Russian descent?
I'm Russian, Polish, Hungarian...
Yeah.
Swedish, Bavarian.
And I've always fallen in love with Jewish men. Oh, Herb described himself as a tall, bald Jew.
Wow.
And then I met my current love,
Ian,
and he's short and white-haired and Australian. So it took me for a while to realize that I liked him a lot.
Because you thought, wait, I can't like this person. He's not Jewish.
I did think that. You're quite right.
I mean, you know, it takes a while getting used to someone who is A, normal, and B, has a long penis. So...
How dare you.
I know. But were you converting ever a thing since you were married twice to Jewish men, or you never...
No, they weren't observant Jews, but they were culturally... Jewish.
Oh, I know that feeling. What were you raised at? Are you...
I wasn't. We were nothing.
Wow. Okay. So you don't even...
My daughter was married. She also married a Jewish man. She actually married a man that was a little boy. They were little children together in our New York City Riverside Drive apartment, and they grew up and got married. And she was married by a woman rabbi, which was really great.
Yes. Yes, I'm old school in some ways, but I'm new school.
Are you?
In other ways, I'm not. In other ways, I believe there should be women rabbis and midget rabbis and Catholic rabbis. I think it's all good.
It's all good, yes.
Now, I have a last question for the delightful Christina Pickles, whom you can watch on Break a Hip. The first season is just wrapping up, and most of the shows are out there on Vimeo. You can find out about them at breakahip.com or at her website, christinapickles.com. But this is going to come a little out of left field, but I have to ask this. In researching this... you, and since I love the theater and like to talk about that a bit, there's a picture of you in a play on the West Coast, I have to assume, with the guy who played Belker on Hill Street Blues, Bruce Weitz.
Oh, yeah, Bruce Weitz. We did a play that was written by Michelle Brooks, who's married to Mel Brooks' son.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's 6 degrees.
He was at the opening night, which was very thrilling, because I've always worshipped him.
Now, I hope it was a comedy, because this picture, you're standing there talking to Bruce Weitz. You're looking the way you usually look, you know, very put together. He looks sort of like Oscar Madison sloppy thing. He's got a toilet seat around his head. What the hell? What was that scene?
Oh, it was another venture into his... He was always doing businesses that didn't work and putting all his money into a business that was another flop. And that one of his things was toilet seats, and that was another flop. So he gets drunk and makes a joke out of it.
Oh, so that's why he's wearing that. Now I understand. Was that, how did that play go, by the way? Was it?
Well, it's a very funny play, and it went well, and he was great to work with.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was nice. And it was a new play, so Michelle had to rewrite some things and cut some things, and it was very painful for her because it was her baby, you know?
Of course.
And she finally did turn it into a nice, tight story.
Oh, good. Okay, and I hope you do some more. I mean, I know you're very involved in this video series.
Yeah, I'd love to do more plays.
Do more plays. If not in New York, then do them on the West Coast. You know, just
okay.
Check out, or
maybe in Colorado.
There you go. We would love to have you come.
Well, I'd love to come. And if I do another play, or when I do another play, I will let you know.
That would be wonderful. I would be honored.
It really was very nice talking to you. I sort of feel I know you.
You know a little part of me. The good part. You don't know the horrible evil part, but that's next time.
Okay.
But what a delight it has been talking with Christina Pickles. Much success with Break a Hip. Much success with all the things that you're doing. Much success with the Australian guy. Maybe you can get
Thank
him
you.
To tell
Jewish.
Thank you.
Tell him you said that.
Please do.
Okay.
Thank you so much, and shalom to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.